Our prayer today is to give you the gift of faith. Our prayer today is to say something that will ignite faith in your heart, to strengthen your faith, to encourage your faith. We want you to walk away today with elevated faith. We recognize that some of you are going through some trials and hard times, and it's only through faith will you learn to overcome whatever's trying to overcome you. So that's our desire today in this Mother's Day, is to hand you some faith. Anybody need faith today? Amen. Anybody need more faith today? We want to encourage you. We want you to walk out of here with an elevated faith so that you wake up on Monday getting ready to slay the devil or whatever the devil throws at your life. And so I'm excited today because I'm going to be tag teaming with my wife in sharing the word of God with you. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Ephesians in your Bible, chapter 6 verse 16. And as you're turning there, don't forget, after service, we have free family photos in the fellowship hall. You're encouraged to take a family photo with your family. And the scripture reads like this. It says like this: in addition to all this, take up, somebody say take up. Take up the shield of faith. Everybody say faith. I want you to notice you have a responsibility to do something with that piece of armor. I want you to notice that that the piece can be laying on the ground, but you need to pick it up. It says, take up the shield of faith. God's not going to take it up for you. You have a responsibility. And this is one of the reasons why we're teaching about the revolutionary weapons of God, because some of us didn't know we had weapons and others didn't know how to use the weapons in order to enforce the victory of Jesus Christ. And so touch your neighbor and say, take it up. You take up, it says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish or put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How many know that the enemy shoots flaming arrows into our lives? He shoots flaming arrows into our lives. Has it ever felt like your life has been set on fire? Has it ever felt like your mind has been set on fire? Has it ever felt like your marriage was set on fire? Chances are, maybe it is because you didn't learn how to take up the shield of faith, because the primary purpose of the shield is to extinguish or put out the flames of the enemy. You don't have to live on fire for the devil if you learn how to take up the shield of faith. And so we want to teach you a little bit about faith today. And if you have your study guide, you'll see we put a bunch of lines on there that says faith is, faith is, faith is. Someone say faith is. And we're going to learn today what faith is. And help me welcome my wife to the podium. Let's give it up for my wife. She's going to kick it off this afternoon, and I'll come back up and share.
All right. Happy Mother's Day. We're talking about faith today as one of the pieces of the armor, and I'm excited because faith is powerful, and when we get a revelation of faith from the Holy Spirit, it will revolutionize our walk with God. So today I'm gonna tackle the first two areas of what faith is, and something that I have personally witnessed and experienced in my own life, and my prayer is that it will help you. And so the first thing is that faith is the good fight. How many of us know that faith is the good fight? In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I have found that the path of faith often requires a fight in order to see it through to completion. We're not just going to glide into a place of victory effortlessly. It's going to take a fight, but it's going to take a good fight. Now, that word fight in this context refers to great exertion or effort. So it's going to take effort on our behalf as we put our eyes on God to fight a good fight. But what I want to highlight today is that when it comes to a good fight, we need to learn how to compete well. We must learn to compete well. In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says that if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. How many of us know that there are rules of engagement? And if we're a believer today, there are rules of engagement that we are to fight with according to the Bible. In other words, our rules are found in the Bible. That's our playbook for life. And we need to know what those rules are in order to engage in them, which requires us to dig deep into God's word. Now, it's easy for us to fight. Many of us have been fighting all our life. For many of us, it's in our nature. We like to fight. We like a fight. The problem is not in fighting. It's fighting the wrong way. So many times we're used to taking up our old weapons that we were used to before we came to Christ. And it's easy to fight that way. That's the easiest thing to do. It doesn't take any effort. Right? All we got to do is reach back into our old stash, right? Roll up our sleeves and start fighting that way. You know how we do it? Someone offends us and we react the old way. We don't like something someone said and we criticize. Or worse yet, we don't like someone and we gossip. Let me tell you, if you're fighting that way, you're fighting the wrong way. We know this because we've heard about it Sunday after Sunday, or we've read about it in the Word, but we don't really know it until it becomes real in our life. And we got to learn how to fight God's way. We got to fight the good fight of faith, and that's how we will increase our faith through the fight, is picking up God's armor, right? Picking up God's tools according to His rules. And so God is calling all of us to stand and to fight the good fight in a manner that is noble, admirable, and worthy of the reward that awaits us. Because we do have a reward that awaits us. Fight the good fight. And it leads me to my next point, which is faith is taking action. Our actions will back up what we believe. In James 2, 17 through 18, it says that faith without works is dead. I want to ask us two questions. I want us to think about this. I want to help us. And the first question is, what are we believing God for? If God gave us a word, what are we believing God for in that word? And where is the action to back it up? Is our faith active? And if it is, where's the proof? See, I have learned in my life that there's mental faith and then there's active faith. And they're not the same. But from the outside, they look the same because both have words behind them. But when you take a closer look, you're going to see a difference. Because mental faith is only a surface faith. But active faith is a burning faith that actually will ignite boldness and action within you. You cannot stay still when you have active faith by its nature. I want to take us for a moment to a recorded event in the Bible between David and Goliath. And many of us have heard of it or read about it, but I want us to see it, and I'm going to break it down just a little bit. But as I do, I want to pull someone else into the event that we may not hear much about, if at all. And his name was Eliab. And he happened to be the oldest brother of David, who was young at the time, who was seemingly insignificant. Eliab seemed to be a smart man. He was in the army of God. He was in the front line on the battlefield. And if you recall, he was one that at one point the prophet Samuel was going to anoint as king. As he was going through the brothers of David, he saw him first, and he says, he's the one. And what did God say? He said, no. He said, don't look at his appearance or his stature. I have rejected him. No. We look at the outward, but God looks at the inward. And because he's sovereign, I believe that he saw something that he didn't have, but David did. That's who God is. He sees all, and he knows all, and he is sovereign. But the problem with Eliab was that even though he was in the battle, he was operating with a mental faith. And he began to make some mental assessments in his mind. And what he did was a grave mistake, because instead of having active faith, what he did was he saw Goliath before him. And what he did when he saw Goliath with his natural eyes is he put himself next to Goliath. And because all he could see was Goliath and how big of a giant he was, he saw himself as small and therefore defeated. He was already defeating himself in his mind. Why? Because his mental faith only took him as far as his natural eyes could see. And that's what mental faith is, which really is no faith at all. It's easy to believe and get excited and think you believe when you can see the outcome. But that wasn't David. See, I want us to understand today that we don't learn God's lessons of faith with our head only. IQs and degrees have nothing to do with real faith. And I thank God for that. I read somewhere that faith makes no sense, but it makes miracles. And I need miracles in my life. And because I know the one that makes all things possible and brings forth all the miracles that I need in my life, I stay plugged into him. But let me tell you how David did it. Because David was a man, not only at that time after God's own heart, he was a youth. He was the youngest brother in the bunch. But he was so insignificant seemingly to everybody else at the time that he wasn't even part of the army. As a matter of fact, they kept him in the back. They kept him in the back tending sheep. They gave him a different assignment that they seemed would keep him out of the way. And to my surprise, and I bet to theirs, David, this young boy who was on his way with a delivery to his brothers on the battlefield, instead of finding faith and victory, all he found was worrying warriors. These were the ones that looked the part and probably played the part, but they really had no part in faith. And he steps onto the battlefield and he's shocked and amazed that they weren't who he thought they were. And here they were, cowering behind the battlefield, afraid because of this giant that they were facing. But unlike Eliab, young David had active faith. And as he began making his own assessments, he did them not with natural eyes. And instead of comparing himself to the giant, what he did was he compared the giant to God. And he said, this fight is over because I know who God is. And I'm going to believe that God is going to defeat this giant today. And you know what? The proof was there because he took action. That was the evidence of active faith in David's life. I want us to have the evidence. I want us to move forward in an active faith. And we ask God, God, increase my faith. Let me step out in action and take some steps. And God will meet us there. God will meet us there. So as I wrap it up, I just want to remind us that we need to learn first and foremost how to fight well, and secondly, to be bold and take action. God bless you.
Someone say faith is. Someone say faith is. What I want to share this afternoon is that faith is based on God's word. Someone say God's word. When you deal with faith and you begin to operate in the arena of faith, you need to understand that faith is based on God's word. It's not based on your senses. It's not based on your emotions. It's not based on anything physical you could see. The arena of faith is dealing with God's word. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about who? About Christ. Now, when you look around the world, most people are not courageous. Most people do not live a life of faith. Most people don't live a life of confidence and boldness. But one of the things we want you to get this afternoon is that you could live a life of faith. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you could live a life of faith. And the way that you do that, first off, is getting into God's word. You can't live a life of faith apart from God's word. And you need to learn how to get in the word for yourself. You can live a little bit off of what I teach you, but you can live a long, long time off what you can learn yourself. And so faith is based on God's word. And there's something about the word of God that activates faith in our life. Have you ever come to a church service and you left feeling like you can conquer the world? Have you ever went to a Bible study and you walked away feeling like you can slay the devil right then and there? What happened was is that when you got into the word itself activated faith in your heart, and that's why it's so important that we always go back to God's word. Can I take you a little bit deeper? If you say you have faith for God to do a specific thing in your life, but you don't have a Bible verse to stand on, then you are just wishful thinking. And wishful thinking doesn't move mountains. Faith does. And so I get it. I see it a lot. Somebody will say, Brian, I'm believing God to give me this job. I'm believing God to provide for my needs. And then I'll ask them, well, what Bible verse are you standing on for that? And they'll be like, what do you mean? If you don't have a Bible verse, then how are you standing in faith? Because faith comes by the word of God. And so the enemy tricks us into wishful thinking, and wishful thinking is not enough to get the job done. Most Christians, they operate in wishful thinking. They're not operating in faith. I'm going to give you an example of this. When I was in prison serving a life sentence, I couldn't just dream about, you know, God opening the door one day and sending me home. I couldn't just wishful think that God would set me home. What I had to do is I got into the word of God and I found out what God said, what he does with prisoners. I went into the word of God and I found out what the word of the Lord says about how God sets prisoners free. And the more verses that I found out on how God sets prisoners free, the more faith it ignited in my heart for the Lord to set me free. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So for example, I found Psalms 68:6. It says, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. So I found that scripture and I was like, I was excited. I was like, oh God, this is what you do. You set the prisoners in singing, with singing. You set them free with singing, and you set the lonely in families. What does it do? It ignites faith in my heart to believe for God to set me free. And I declare today, I got three beautiful kids. I ain't lonely no more, to the glory of God. I found, it didn't stop there. I found Psalms 107:14. Says he brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Again, I find the scripture and I said, wow, God, you've done it before so you could do it again. You've done it before so you do it again. This is what you're about. You break the chains, God. And therefore, when somebody comes to me when I was in prison and they'll say, well, how do you believe? How do you know God is going to set you free from a life sentence? You got a life sentence. You're supposed to spend the rest of your life in prison. You're going to die in prison just like everybody else. Well, look at me. I've been here for 50 years and you think you're going to be set free? And they're going to say, how? They said, how do you believe that? Well, I said, because the scriptures teach that God sets prisoners free. That's why I believe. I didn't turn around and say, well, I believe he does it just because I think he's going to do it. You see the difference? That is wishful thinking, and that does not move mountains. So faith is based on God's word. But secondly, or in addition, faith is agreeing with God. Faith is agreeing with God. The prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me encourage you for a minute. One of the first things that you need to do when you set out to walk with God is you need to determine in your mind that you're going to agree with God. Did you catch that? One of the first things you need to do when you set out to walk this journey with God, you need to determine right away that you're going to agree with what God says to you. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? See, you can't walk with God and then get mad at God when he speaks into your life. It doesn't work like that. We want God to speak into our life, and then we tend to get mad at him when he does. We want God to speak into our life, and then we tend to ignore him when he does. And so I want to encourage you, hurry up, hurry up. Don't take long, don't take long, don't take long. Don't debate with God, don't argue with God. Just side up with him as fast as you can. Agree, learn to agree with God. Now, this is easier said than done because we got a rebellious nature, the old self. One way that God speaks to me is at times he'll drop ideas into my mind and into my heart. I'll be driving around or doing something and God will drop an idea into my heart and I'll get excited and I'll run with it like a football for a touchdown. And sometimes I go to my wife, I say, hey, this is what the Lord put in my heart. This is what the Lord put in my heart. And I found out that not everybody gets excited about when God puts something in your heart. But usually the idea benefits me, or it may benefit the church. Just recently, I remember God put an idea into my heart. I was driving down the street, and he told me, I want you to give this particular person some money. And that wasn't the regular type of idea that I would get. And so I remember when I got this idea, I begin to ignore God. Has anybody ever tried to ignore God before? Raise your hand and shame the devil. The way that I begin to ignore God is I begin to say, well, how do I know if that's really God speaking to me? Oh, y'all done that before too, huh? How do I know? Like, I'm driving down the street and I get this idea and I'm trying to, you know, work it all out in my mind. How do I know that that's really God speaking to me? I'll never forget. The Lord put it in my heart, a response. And he said, all of a sudden, that's how God speaks to me. All of a sudden, he goes, all of a sudden, you want to ask the question, how do I know if this is God speaking to me? You never asked that question before. I give you an idea that benefited you. You ran with it and went and told your wife and you went and got everybody to do it. Now all of a sudden, you want to have triple confirmation when I'm calling you to sacrifice. This is what the Lord put in my heart. And he went on to say, who else is going to tell you to give money? The devil ain't going to tell you to give money. And you're greedy by nature, so you ain't going to tell yourself to get money. Who else is going to tell you? And this was a lesson that I had to learn, that if I'm going to be a productive citizen in the kingdom of God, I need to learn how to agree with him as fast as I can. I need to learn how to agree with God. And let me take it even a little bit further. When you start to listen to the Spirit of the Lord, that thought, oh, how do I know if it's God's going to, if it's him speaking to me or not? That thought's going to always come to your mind. You need to just obey it anyways. You just need to obey it anyways. And the more you obey it, the stronger you'll get in hearing the voice of God for your life. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So faith is agreeing with God. But then also, faith is acting like God is true. Faith is acting like God is true. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, there was an incident with Simon Peter, one of the apostles. When you study the life of the apostles before they met Jesus, most of them were fishermen. They were professional fishermen. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, Simon Peter is coming back from a night of fishing unsuccessfully. And he comes back to the shore and he sees Jesus standing there. And Simon Peter has no fish. And Jesus looks at him and he says, Simon Peter, I want you to throw your net back into the water. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, Simon begins to debate with Jesus a little bit. And he begins to tell him, hey, Jesus, I'm a professional fisherman, and I've been working all night long, and I haven't caught anything. And now we're close to the shore. There's no fish next to the shore. Usually the fish is out in the deep, and yet you want me to send my net back into the water. And Simon Peter debates with God a little bit. He wrestles with Jesus a little bit. But then he starts to act as if Jesus is true. And he throws his net into the water. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says they caught so much fish that the net broke. It broke. They caught so much fish that the net broke. And it only happened when Simon Peter learned or developed or acted like Jesus's word was true. And so this is what I want us to get this afternoon. Your miracle is on the other side of your obedience. The faster you stop debating God and arguing with God, you will experience the miracle of God in your life, because your miracle is on the other side of your obedience. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Faith is acting on God's word. Now write this down, write this down. Faith is acting like it's so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Write that down, write that down. Because it flew over some of you guys' heads. I'm going to say it again. Faith is acting like it's so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. I'm going to say it one more time. Faith is acting like it's so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Your miracle is on the other side of your obedience. Now, most of you know that about 7 or 8 months ago, we believed that God gave us a word to take the South Bay area for Jesus Christ. We believe that God directed us to do this. And so 6 months ago, we started a service in the city of Carson, which is the South Bay area. We started a 5 p.m. service, and the Lord began to work different miracles. People begin to get saved. People begin to get baptized. The place began to get filled up. The parking lot was filled up. Families were coming to the Lord in groups. People were worshiping. The power of God was exploding. And then about 3 weeks ago, as some of you know, I received this letter in the mail, and I'm carrying it around because it's reminding me of the power of God. And I received this letter in the mail that told us as a church, you got 30 days to move out of our facility. The devil, I sensed, this is my personal opinion, I sensed that the devil was trying to kick us out of the city of Carson. He was mad. Didn't like what we were doing. Didn't like that we were baptizing families and people were receiving their crown back. Gave us this letter to scare us, to intimidate us. Said, you got to go. We had a decision to make. We could have easily packed our bags and came back to the city of Paramount. We could have easily closed up shop and went back to the city of Long Beach. We could have easily said, you know what? We already have a couple campuses. Let's just keep doing what we're always doing. We could have easily packed up our bags and left, but we made a decision that we're not gonna leave. At least the city, that's it. And so we prayed and we talked and we began to knock on doors. And 2 weeks ago, God, through a realtor, handed me the keys to our own building in the city of Carson. Our own building that holds about 200 people and has multiple classes for children that gives us the capacity to double down in the name of Jesus. Now, that's not it. So I, by faith, we gave about $30,000 for the deposit, first month's rent. By faith, we took out a loan to purchase chairs for the Carson campus, even the Paramount campus. By faith, we began to paint the walls. We didn't have anybody there. We're painting the walls. By faith, the volunteers begin to clean. By faith, the volunteers begin to set up, begin to get the building right. We didn't have anybody there, but we're acting like God's word is true. Are you following along? We don't know what's going to go on, but we got a word from God, and we're acting like it's true. Somebody got to get that today, because you're waiting for things to line up with you. Don't wait for things to line up with you. You line up with the word. You line up with the word. And so we're painting. We painted it. We bought some other stuff. We're getting things ready. And today was to be our grand opening for the city of Carson. We scheduled to have a grand opening, not just one service. We used to have one service, but we're going to make the devil really afraid of us, because we're having two services on Sunday now. They don't ever try to kick us out. And so we scheduled our grand opening for 9:15 a.m. and 5 p.m. So you still have time to go check out our new building. But my wife and I were there, 9:15. What's going to happen? We don't know. We're just stepping out in faith. God's word is true. Don't know what's going to go on. We're just going to activate. And I'm here to declare that that building was filled up with over 200 people to the glory of God. 200 people, over 200 people to the glory of God. And I think about 5 or 6 people accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered their life to the Lord. We didn't know what was going on, but we acted like God's word is true. Hear me today. I'm going to say it again. Your miracle is on the other side of your obedience. One last thing. Faith is voice activated. It's voice activated. My wife talked about the story of David and Goliath. David wasn't even a king at this time. He was a young, ruddy boy. And what was interesting is that David thought he was going to the battleground for a delivery, but God actually brought him to the battleground for deliverance. Y'all didn't catch that. David's dad thought he was sending David for a delivery of milk or cookies or whatever it was. But God's hand was upon that situation, in so much that David didn't bring no delivery of milk. He brought deliverance to the nation of Israel. Now, I want you to see how this came about. Because the Philistine, which was Goliath, was trying to intimidate God's people, was trying to pump fear in their heart and try to get them to run away and to be scared. But look what David does. 1 Samuel 17, it says, Then David said to the Philistine, this day, not next month, not next year, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. What is David doing? He knew something about faith to get it activated. What does he do? He activates his faith by speaking out his belief over the situation. Goliath was not dead at that time. Goliath was still in charge at that time. Goliath was still pumping in fear into the hearts of the soldiers, but not David. He stands up and he declares what he believes God is going to do. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? He activates his faith with his mouth. I want to teach you something. I want you to take the next step of faith. I want to teach you something. Having a heart full of faith is not enough. You could have a heart full of faith and still live a defeated Christian life. You could have a heart full of faith and still live in depression. You could have a heart full of faith and still have all your prayers go unanswered. It's not enough to have a heart full of faith. You have to learn how to move your faith from your heart to your mouth. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? You got to learn to move your faith from your heart to your mouth, because there's something that happens when you declare the word of God over your situation. It activates and releases the power of faith over your situation. Don't you remember how God created the world? Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you'll read, and God said, let there be light, and light was, and light was. Listen, don't misunderstand me. You are not God. Don't misunderstand me. But there's something that God has done with our mouth that's put power in our words that affects the situation, even much more when the word of God is laced in your mouth. Hear me today, my brothers and sisters. This is where a lot of Christians don't take the next step. They have a heart full of faith, but they don't have a mouth full of faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, guess what? He will have whatsoever he says. You'll have whatsoever he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. It's not enough just to believe. You also need to speak. I'm talking about gaining the victory in your life. I'm talking about victorious living being manifested in your situation. You got to speak the word. You got to speak and declare what you believe God is going to do. Don't let the devil shut you up. Don't let the devil shut you up. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. Don't care. Don't worry about what they think about you. Your situation can be not look like it, but you still got to speak like it. Abram, God changed his name from Abram, which means father, to Abraham, which means father of many nations. He looked like he was crazy. Can you imagine? Abram changes his name. God changes his name to Abraham, and he shows up to the city of Ur, and he says, Abraham is on the scene, and they look at him. What do you mean, Abraham? You're Abram. But he got a word from God, and he began to speak out what God declared over his life. So again, I want to encourage you, don't let the devil shut you up. Speak up. Declare the promises of God over your kids. Declare them over your marriage. Declare them over your finances. Declare them over your entire life. And it activates faith. And get this. 1 John 5:4 says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. May we be people of faith. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to reflect upon the Word of God this afternoon. Reflect upon the Word of God. What did the Lord tell you? And how are you going to respond? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a couple moments, in a spirit of reflection, let's think.